Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon, Christmas Gifts for Jesus, based especially on these verses from Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it stood over the place where the child was. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground, and they worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I invite you to open up your worship folder today and find there your sermon outline as we consider our theme, Christmas Gifts for Jesus. Our children told us today, did you hear them? The scripture reading told us the same thing. The wise men brought gifts to Jesus. Gifts that were costly. Gifts that were symbolic of his worth to them and to all mankind. Gifts that were symbolic of their own personal lives. In giving these specific gifts to the Christ child, these wise men were, in effect, laying down their very lives before Jesus. Let me explain why this is so. Traditionally, gold, frankincense, and myrrh represent Jesus' worth and Jesus' purpose for all mankind. Gold, a gift for royalty, signifying that this baby is the king. Frankincense, a fragrant incense used by priests in worship, signifying Jesus' heavenly priesthood. And finally, myrrh, an aromatic orange resin, used specifically for anointing dead bodies, signifying that this baby Jesus will one day die and lay down his life on the cross for the sins of the world. Now, this is the three meanings of these three gifts according to tradition, and not an impossible interpretation. But historically, these three gifts were also the tools of the trade for wise men. When you historically study wise men, you'll find out that these very three substances, gold, frankincense, and the resin we call myrrh, were tools of their trade. Wise men is an English translation for the Greek word magi, from which we get the word magician. These wise men were Eastern astrologers or magicians. They were likely from Persia, modern-day Iran. They were not Jewish believers awaiting their Messiah. They were non-Jews, Gentiles from an entirely different religious background. But they had studied the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. They had studied passages like the one Stephen read earlier to us from Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, O Bethlehem, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient of days." They studied the stars, which were commonly understood at that time to announce important events. And following the Christmas star, they traveled many miles to Judea, to Bethlehem, to witness the birth of the long-awaited Messiah. Now, arriving where the Christ child was, these wise men then presented the baby Jesus with their Christmas gifts: gold, Frankincense and myrrh, we said, were tools of their trade. They were substances somehow used in their ancient roles as astrologers and magicians to do their work. So besides bringing Jesus these costly gifts, and they were costly, they were laying before Jesus their very means of making a living. It would be like a carpenter laying down his tools before the baby Jesus. An athlete laying down his or her athletic equipment before the baby Jesus. A teacher laying before Jesus her books, or these days perhaps her computer. As they bow before the Christ child, these wise men were in effect giving themselves to the Lord Jesus and acknowledging that He was their King. And soon these wise men disappeared into the pages of history, never to be mentioned again in Holy Scripture. But take note, will you please? On that first Christmas, the wise men gave gifts to Jesus. Let me ask you this question today. What are you giving to Jesus this Christmas? Is that a surprising question? I hope it is, because usually we ask, hey, what did you get for Christmas? But today we're asking the question, because Christmas should be full of surprises, what are you giving to Jesus this Christmas? To help you wrestle with this surprising question, I want to share with you now an imaginary story. And of course, it must begin once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a town in which the day of Christmas always came as a surprise. It was arranged in this way. The mayor of the town appointed a proclaimer of Christmas. And on each New Year's Day, he appointed this person. Only the mayor knew who that person was. So when he or she announced Christmas, it came as a complete surprise. But the surprise was even greater than you can imagine, because the day of Christmas, catch this, was not the same day for everyone. Each person in that town had Christmas Day appointed for them in secret. And it was revealed only on the evening before the day it was to be celebrated. Now, perhaps you're wondering why this tradition came about. It's quite simple. The first Christmas came quite unexpectedly. And these folks thought it made sense to then have every Christmas thereafter come unexpectedly. Nobody realized right away, on that very first Christmas, the great thing that had just happened. Jesus' parents, the shepherds, later the wise men, did not immediately comprehend the magnitude of the birth in that humble Bethlehem stable. And since God had chosen to give the world a wonderful surprise at Christmas, the people of this special town decided they'd also make Christmas a surprise for each person in their town. The results were astonishing. For one thing, the persons who were privately told that tomorrow would be their Christmas, they had no time to prepare for the day. For goodness sakes, there could no longer be any urgent or frenzied or crazy activity. Nobody here can relate to that. To the preparation for that day. After giving God thanks for the gift of Jesus, the person celebrating their Christmas had to give to others presents. They were immediately on hand. It was quickly discovered that on such short notice, it was easier to give oneself rather than the things that were wrapped in paper. So Christmas gifts then became a very special, kind, and loving gift, like an invitation to supper, a visit to a lonely or sick person, caring for someone you knew who was less fortunate or all alone at Christmas. The wonderful thing was that not only were such gifts easier to give on short notice, they were far more satisfying gifts to give than all those things they used to wrap in paper. There was a problem, of course, and maybe you've already wondered about it. Since each person's Christmas was a surprise only announced on the day before, there was no opportunity for the celebrants to receive gifts. Nobody could prepare for your day. So what happened in that town? It was great. Since nobody knew quite when to treat others with Christmas gifts, they gave each other Christmas gifts every day of the year. They used every day in their life, not just one day a year, to first give God thanks for the gift He gave in that Bethlehem manger. And then, by loving and caring for others in their lives every day. Since the gifts were now self-giving love rather than store-bought things, they found it possible to be gift givers every single day. God's Bethlehem gift of Jesus inspired their gift-giving and their self-sacrifice for others every day of the year. And Christmas meant more to people in that town than it had ever meant before. Now, friends, that's the pretend imaginative story. But the true meaning of Christmas is so simple. It's so clear. John 3:16 says it so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the baby Jesus in that Bethlehem manger, Almighty God gave Himself to us in sacrificial love. Those tiny hands in the manger, did you see them? When you looked into that Bethlehem manger, those tiny little hands of that newborn boy reaching up to Mama Mary grew to be the hands of the Savior whose hands were nailed on Calvary's cross. Why? As Scripture tells us, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas proclaims that which the cross declares. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you that He gave the gift of Jesus. My friends, may we, especially as Christmas Day draws so close, respond to so great of love by first giving ourselves to our Savior in adoration as did the wise men of old, and laying before Him everything we are and everything we have. And then, in response to His love for us, may we give ourselves in love to whomever God puts in our paths every day of the year. These are Christmas gifts fit for a king, for our King Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.